Yes, that seems to be working.
Right. So, similar crowd to last week. I was going to go a little bit deeper today and try to focus in a little bit more on virtue that we talked about last time. But last time I also talked about wisdom and about peace and how it all kind of fits together. So I thought maybe some of us have forgotten and one person is new, I think. So we can go through it. And what always helps is to have like a little example or to something that we can kind of imagine to think about it in a good way. So developing these things and developing the path is a little bit like building. And Kusala Hermitage is actually quite famous for building. We are a new monastery and the monks there are very skilled. I'm not really a builder as such. I do help out a little bit on the building side. But they would understand the whole process quite well. So, of course, they got a piece of land in the beginning and we had a horse stable there. So the monks couldn't really go and live in the horse stable, even though, you know, we're supposed to be very simple living monks, but it was really just one corridor with like little spaces for the horses and a little bathroom on one side. I don't think it had like, did it have a shower? Maybe it had, or a kitchen or anything like that. So a kitchen definitely wasn't there, and they did such a beautiful job. Anyway, so when you are building, then you actually need a bit of an idea what you want to do, and you make plans, and you have an intention, and you have an interest that you actually want to start a project. And that's basically what we talked about last time, which is the wisdom part. So you have an idea, you get inspired, and you have a motivation to actually do something. So that's the first step. And then we start to prepare the ground, to lay down the foundations. And that's what virtue is all about. And virtue basically means to be a good human being, to be truly of the human kind. So to be humane and to be kind. Because even though we are human beings and we have made it into this world as a human being in Buddhist kind of worldview, it still doesn't mean that we have to behave like a human being. We can have a mind which is not so kind or is not so humane. So we want to get as close as possible to that. And that basically means having the foundations in place. And the foundations is something which is very, very important. Because if you build on something which is not solid, then it doesn't really work. So the next part is then peace, stillness, meditation that we talked about. And that is built on those foundations. So you get your walls up and you get your first story up. And you have already quite a nice building there. And then once that is established and once that is in place, then you can start to put a roof on it. So that is the wisdom part that comes again in. But this time it is the wisdom of your own experience. And of course you can just have like a little roof, or you can even have an attic, or you can even have like many, many rooms with a second story on top of that, but it all basically works together. So you have to do it in the right order. So today, I would like to focus in a little bit more on virtue though. And I don't know what you think about when you hear the word virtue. Sometimes we might have been conditioned in a way that we don't really like the word virtue so much, but one way to think about it, and the translation of the term which is actually used in Buddhism is often habit. And that's actually something I really like. Habit or nature or character, moral practice and Buddhist ethics, that's basically what the word sila means. But nature and character and habit, for me, just have a completely different feeling to it. It's basically something you are developing, something you are cultivating, and something which is not really so personal how we often think about it in other terms. So one important thing that I also wanted to bring in, I brought some notes today because I wanted to get this right, is the causes and the conditions that we talk about in Buddhism. That's something which is also very important. But another word that could be used for causes and conditions is consequences. I think that's a word that we're probably quite familiar with. And for me, being a primary school teacher in the past, and, you know, teaching little kids, I never had kids myself, but very often also when you are communicating to kids, when you just try to tell them this is bad or this is good, it doesn't really land or it doesn't really make sense. But if you can show what consequences certain actions have, then it might make more sense to them. So when we do this and that, it has these consequences. Do we want these consequences or don't we want these consequences? If it's negative consequences, then of course we try to avoid them. If it's positive consequences, then we actually try to develop them. So it's quite important to have a clearer understanding of this, because then we also stop talking about good and bad. We rather talk about skillful and unskillful. We talk about helpful and unhelpful. We talk about what is good in that sense and what is bad, but we give it a different flavor. So habits, when I think about this word, what also comes in and what I find very important is habits are conditioned. So habits are basically something which is programmed into us. And the programming kind of often runs its own course. So it's like with a computer. You program it in a certain way, and then it will do a certain task in that way. And we can actually think about habits in the same way. Because if we think about them in a different way, again, and take them very personally, then we can either really get down on ourselves when something doesn't work out and we think it's not good, or we can get too proud or really elevated about something when we think, oh, this is really good. But actually, it's just a skillful conditioning. And the conditioning doesn't just happen through us as a person. It also happens through the surroundings that we find ourselves in, through the culture, through the people that we are exposed to. So there is many, many different layers to this. And then it makes it much, much less impersonal, which is actually a very important thing in Buddhism. So when we then ask ourselves, you know, is a person who does something bad a bad person? Is someone who does something good a good person? Maybe not entirely. Again, if we change the word and say that person is a skillful person or it's an unskillful person, it loses a certain punch that can be quite dangerous, actually, if we use it in the wrong way. But I'll try to give you an example again so you can hopefully understand it a little bit better. So something which is not morally loaded and is hopefully fairly neutral is that I used to do acting in the past. It's something that I really enjoyed. And so I would have to learn my role. I would have to learn my lines. I had to condition whatever I wanted to perform into my system by repetition, by, you know, reading the words over and over again, by, you know, sometimes I would actually write down what I needed to say in symbols so I could memorize it, whatever the ways and the means are. Or you go and practice it and you are on the stage with the other people and you get the cues from when you go on stage and the other person says something, you are able and you know what to say. So that is the conditioning that happens. And you're not just conditioning yourself with your own lines. That was actually something quite interesting. Because I had a principal part in one of those plays, I would know what the other characters would say and what I reply to the other characters. So when one of them fell sick, my teacher said, oh, can you swap roles? Because we had like, because it was a play for many, many months. Or no, not for many months, that's wrong. But for a longer period of time, and it was quite a big play, we actually had two groups with two main characters, or I don't know how many were there. Maybe two or three were, I don't know how you say that in English, doppelbesetzt, it's in German, which means you just have one role and you have two people who have learned that role. So what happened, one of them fell sick in another role, and they said, oh, we don't actually have anyone to replace that person. So the two of us who did the principal role, we said, okay, give us, I can't remember what it was, give us half a day or give us one day off school and we'll really go and learn those other lines. And then we could actually fill the other person's role. So even there you can see, even though I was conditioning myself to learn that one role, because I was exposed to so many other things, I also learned the other role at the same time. So that's what happens with habits as well. And then the other thing is, once I've learned it well, it was important that I could get out there when the performance was happening and that I was in a calm and a peaceful state. So again, conditioning and influences happen in the present moment as well. So I condition and influence myself while I'm learning, while I'm training for the role. And then I get on the stage and usually, hi, then I try to just forget everything and just let the conditioning take its course. You have the triggers that come up, you have the cues from the other actors, and then it just flows. And the more I would actually not have slept well or be, you know, emotionally somehow loaded, angry or sad or whatever, then I wouldn't be able to perform whatever I have practiced as well as I would have otherwise. And that's basically exactly the same thing with virtue, if you can think about it in that way. It's something you have practiced for a long period of time. You have understood how it works, and then you practice and practice and practice, and then you get into a situation, you basically let go, you have the triggers arise, and the process takes over. And that's actually one of the good ways. Especially when you have a developed good habits, they can run this way. When you have some habits that are unskillful or unhelpful or bad, as people would say, then you understand, I am not a bad person because this is happening to me. It's just habits that have been conditioned into my system from myself, from my surrounding, from the culture, from the media, from whatever it might be. And now I am just basically acting out the programming once the trigger arises. And that's something which is important to understand, because one of the strong habits that we can have is addiction. We can be addicted to certain things, and then we don't have the control over what's happening. And then we start to feel bad about ourselves, and we start to think it's all my mistake and I'm a bad person and rah, 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 and the whole story goes in that direction. And that's not really helpful. So we understand it's conditioning. Character, habits is something which is not set in stone, and it's something which can be changed. And then sometimes we do whatever we can from the inside, but we also go and ask for help from the outside. And that's what classes like this actually also do, that you get the information, that you get the inspiration, that you have friends in your life, for example, that can support you to do the right thing. When you get into a situation when you realize, oh, I'm being triggered, there is bad habits from the past, and I don't actually want to go there, then make sure you get help. Make sure you get your friend or someone who can help you to get out of harm's way. And that's basically what we want to do with virtue. So maybe one more example, because it's actually quite a nice one that Ajahn Brahm often uses, is Imagine a situation with a mother going shopping with her kid. And now we imagine two mothers, or say a mother with her kid and a father with her kid or whatever it is, and they go to the shop and they're coming up to the checkout. Now, one kid tries to help, but the milk, and sometimes, I don't know if that's still the case, but they used to have those plastic kind of milk thingies that so you don't have so much plastic. You know, it's a really soft plastic. I don't think they do that anymore. It's like a bag, isn't it? And so it's trying to help, and it drops, and it makes a really big mess. And the parent, what does the parent say? It says, "You stupid kid, you dropped the milk." Then you go to another aisle, and similar situation, a parent with their kid, and now it's a jar of jam, and also they try to help, and it falls down, and, you know, one big mess. But the parent in the other aisle says, "What a stupid thing you have done." And that is that difference that I tried to explain before. They have both done the exact same thing. I mean, you know, one is a milk and one is a jam. But the action is the same. But the reaction of the parent is skillful or not skillful. They understand the kid is not a bad kid because that happened. It's a behavior that wasn't very skillful and that you could call bad or stupid, but actually these things are not so useful. So, was I a good actor? Was I a bad actor? I was maybe a skillful actor, but it's just basically conditioning. So I hope you have a bit of an understanding now where I'm coming from. So now with that understanding, we want to make sure that the things that are unskillful, unhelpful, that we avoid them and we overcome them. And the positive things, we want to encourage them and we want to maintain them. And that's basically what virtue is. And it is helpful to understand what we think, what we say, and what we do. And with understanding that, we also need like a moral compass. And that's what we have in all religions. And I would just like to go through the one that we have in Buddhism, so you have a bit of an understanding what we call virtue in Buddhism. Some of you might be very familiar with this. It's five things. But again, please don't think about this in the wrong way. So these are five wholesome habits that we want to develop. And what we usually talk about first is what we try to avoid. But it always has both sides. So the first one is we avoid killing or harming any living beings. So that is kind of the negative part. But we want to make sure we don't get stuck there. We ask ourselves, what is the positive? What is the opposite of this? And the opposite of it is being harmless. It's being respectful towards life. It's being tender and having concern for all living beings. The second one is avoiding taking what is not given. So basically, it means not to steal or not to exploit. On the positive side, what we are trying to develop is the habit of respecting the property and the sphere of influence of other beings. And property is one of those words which can mean many, many things. So a property is land. So we can also care for land and we can understand that the land belongs to the person or maybe even doesn't belong to a person at all. So we want to have custodianship for country, which is beautiful, that I've learned about here in Australia. It also means that we think about intellectual property, for example. So property is actually quite a nice word. So whatever we think another person cares about, let's see if we can take care of that as well. So we don't take it, we don't abuse it, we don't exploit it. Number three is avoiding sexual misconduct. So that means anything which is unlawful in the realm of sexuality. Adultery, being unfaithful or disloyal. But it also means abusing power, coercion, or exploitation in sexual matters. So that would be the negative part of it. But I always like to talk about it a little bit more wider, not just in terms of sexuality, but in terms of friendship, in terms of how we care for each other and how relationships should work. So what do we want? We want someone who is trustworthy, and we want to be trustworthy ourselves. We want someone who is loyal. We want someone who respects us and who we can respect. So that's the positive side of it. That's the habit we're trying to grow, to encourage. Then the fourth one is avoiding to lie. So the positive aspect of that is truthfulness. It also means being sincere. It means having integrity and being authentic. And sometimes when we talk about this, we also talk about speech in general. So the actual rule is just truthfulness. But it also means that we are careful with speech, that we talk in the right way, which means that we don't have divisive speech, which separates people, but we want harmony. We don't have abusive speech or harsh speech, which hurts people. And we try to make sure that we don't engage in too much gossip or idle chatter that doesn't really have much meaning or doesn't really give much benefit. But it doesn't mean that you can't have small talk at all. If you want to be friendly and kind with someone, just have some small talk, it's not a problem. But you will realize at some stage, if you talk too long, you start to talk about negative stuff or about things that you don't really want to be talking about, then it's sometimes better to remain silent. And then the fifth one, which is maybe a little bit unique to Buddhism, but it exists in other religions as well, is avoiding alcohol and non-medicinal drugs. Basically anything which is intoxicating our minds. And why do we do that? We do that to make sure that our mind is not clouded and that we don't become heedless. So if you think of the example of me acting, that means I train, but now if I go and drink or I intoxicate myself with certain emotions or I'm just very unhappy or whatever, then I will lose all the training that I've put in place. And that's the same thing with this here. So all the other things that I have mentioned, even if we have the best of intentions and we take too much alcohol or we take too much of something which intoxicates us, all that goes out the window and we start to do things that we didn't actually want to do. So it is really important to understand that purity of mind, clarity of mind, soberness is something which is very important in Buddhism as much as we can muster. All right, so that's basically what we talk about when we talk about the five precepts. I hope that gives you a little bit of an overview. Just a quick summary. It basically means being respectable, being kind, and being humane. It means one, respecting life. Two, respecting others' property. Three, respecting relationships, especially in the domain of sexuality. Truthfulness. And then maintaining purity of mind, because we realize that that is actually something which is important. All right. Yes. I have one more thing, actually. I was just reflecting. I think, again, it was on the building site. We were doing something on the building site where you had to protect yourself. And so we got the PPE out. And, you know, I never had any idea about PPE, but now everybody, because we had COVID and everyone talked about the PPE, everyone knows what PPE is. But, again, of course, I have adopted it to use it as an acronym and to use it as an acronym for wholesome habits. So the P stands for protection. So we protect ourselves, but we also protect the people around us if we are a virtuous person. And we are basically giving the other people a gift. We're giving ourselves a gift. And what is that gift? It's the gift of fearlessness. We don't have to be afraid when we go somewhere because we've said something bad or we lied about something. We just feel good about ourselves in that respect. Or we don't have any regret. So that protects us in that sense. I talked about this a little bit last week. Then the second aspect we talked about as well, which is peace. So you have no agitation, you have no remorse, you have no regrets, and it basically calms everything down. So protection, peace, and then the last one, E, is energy. So that's the energy which comes from purity. The energy which comes from purity is joy, is happiness, and is peace. And it is basically something which does spread, just like the virus does. But it's a happy virus, and it's a good virus that we all should get infected with. And it's the same thing with habit. So often when I talk about habits, and I just put that word in a room, people always think about bad habits. And, oh, I have this bad habit, and I want to get rid of this habit, and habit, and habit is bad. But hopefully I could show you today that habit isn't bad, or it isn't good. It's just how things work, and we can use them to our advantage. So when we understand what unwholesome habits are and what wholesome habits are, and I hope with the five precepts I've given you a little bit of an idea, then we understand what to avoid and what to develop. Okay, so that's a few words, a few more than usual for you tonight, but I hope that is useful. To, again, what I was trying to do these last two times, putting everything into perspective and giving you a little bit of an overview that what we do here is not just meditation. Meditation is great, it's important, it's wonderful, but we also have virtue, which is great, wonderful, and beautiful, and we have wisdom, which is great, wonderful, and beautiful. So we don't want to focus on one of them too strongly. All right. Is there anything I said that has triggered any questions or remarks or comments?
I'll ask a question.
Yes, please. Sure, yes.
All right. In the case where we don't want to speak in a way that hurts others,
yes,
which is completely understandable,
yes,
but sometimes we have to.
Oh, right, yes.
Because if we ball it up, we hurt ourselves.
Yes.
So in that case, what do we do?
Right. So bottling up is not helpful.
Yeah.
Letting it out and hurting other people in the process is not helpful either.
Well, it is.
So what is the alternative? The alternative is realizing what's going on. Number one, you were hurt. Hurt usually means there is a certain boundary which has been crossed.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel okay with that.
Mm.
So it's important to communicate to the other person, I have a boundary here, this has happened, it hurts me, I don't want to hurt you in return because this is not useful, but I want to let you know that this behavior is something which is difficult for me, and which in turn will have consequences. If you carry on saying these things to me, I will distance myself. Do you want that? So things like that. But one other important thing is, very often if we're hurt, we very quickly go into anger or blaming or being outwards rather than focusing inwards and going, what has happened? Why am I hurt? Where is the boundary crossed? Ouch, this hurts. Can I actually be kind to myself? It feels good when we're angry with other people and we tell them what they did wrong, but we don't take care of our own hurt and we create more hurt outside. So it's something that we practice over time. Sometimes it's good to walk away. Think about it, talk to someone, go like, look, this has happened to me, and they might give you some advice. And then you can approach the person at a timely manner, so in a way when it's not so heated. So usually when someone says something harsh or something unkind, they're not in the best place themselves. And then we get hurt, and we might hurt back, and then it just goes ping pong, ping pong, ping pong, and we just, yeah, it escalates, and that's not really helpful. So we maybe get out of the situation. Maybe if the person actually cares about us and is a bit sensitive, they might actually come to us afterwards and say, like, oh, sorry, I'm aware something has happened. Because if we react straight away, then they don't have time to reflect on what they said and what the effect might have been. So there's so many things that we can do. And then we can maybe wait, come back in another situation or another time when we are calm, when the other person is calm, and we say, is it possible that I can talk to you about something that has happened 2 days ago that bothers me? And then they can say, oh yeah, fine. So you have their invitation, you know they're in the right place, and then you have to make sure you are in the right place. So you talk about your own feelings, you talk about your own hurt, you talk about what your needs are and what you're hoping for the relationship, and something positive without attacking the person, and then there is a chance that you can actually resolve it. But not all problems and not all things like this can be resolved. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you have to protect yourself, sometimes you have to distance yourself, sometimes you have to draw boundaries and basically say what the consequences are. Mm-hmm. I hope that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
But now, yeah, it's trying. That's the thing. But yeah, it happens. Speech is one of the most difficult one of those five. When you ask people, which one have you most trouble with, they would probably say it's number four. Not the lying as such, but the right speech and the wrong speech. Okay, great. All right, so we usually meditate. Might be a little bit of a shorter meditation today, but that's okay. Have you meditated before?
Or? Yes.
Great, okay, cool. So, we probably all know what's coming next. So I invite you to find a comfortable position. And then let's cultivate another wholesome habit. Meditation is a wholesome habit. It's learning to relate to whatever arises with kindness, with understanding, with a little bit of space, so we don't get so caught up in it. With calm and with clarity. So if you haven't already closed your eyes, please feel free to do so now, so that we can start our journey inwards, where we learn to get in touch with our bodies, where we learn to get in touch with our emotions and with our thoughts, that's basically what becomes speech when we're out in the world. And then we can also get in touch with our intentions, with our motivations, with our wholesome and unwholesome conditioning. That's also what is happening in the mind. And then from our minds spilling out into the world. Okay, but let's spend a bit of time with our bodies first of all. Maybe do a little body scan. And what I really like to do is a body scan, which I call the slow motion shower. So imagine you're standing under the shower. and you're having water flow over you in slow motion, like in the Matrix. And the water represents two things. It represents awareness, which means being awake, being present, being interested, being here. And it also represents all the teachings you have received before. It represents wisdom. It represents kindness. It represents all the beautiful attitudes you have practiced and trained in the past that can now do their work, but they do it effortlessly. And if those two things work together, then what happens is relaxation. What happens is ease. What happens is rest. That's the consequence of the causes. So let the water touch your head. See if you can actually feel it. Feel its warmth. Feel its kindness. Feel its wetness moving over your skull. On the back, on the sides, over your hair, on your skull, on your ears. Let this awareness and kindness also touch your forehead. Gently flow over it, onto your eyebrows, over your eyelids, onto your nose. Lips, the cheeks, the chin, the jaw, there's nothing really you have to do. The awareness and the kindness are the causes for relaxation, are the causes for joy. And then you can feel the water flowing over the back of your head and into the neck area. The back of the neck, sides of the neck, the front, the throat, just being present and being kind. Caring and allowing everything to relax. Whenever you feel that you can slightly move or shift your head or your neck to make it more at ease, please do that. That's the kind thing to do. Because as you move through your body and as it relaxes, it also kind of settles, and you can encourage it by allowing it to settle in the most comfortable way. And then we move into our shoulders. Again, sometimes good to move the shoulders around a little bit and allow them to get into a posture which is good. And then letting the water of kindness, of presence, of genuine interest flow over them, flow into them. And then from there into your arms, down your arms. See if you can feel the flowing water like a circle going down your arms, left and right. Relaxing them, warming them. Reaching your elbows. Flowing over your lower arms. Into your wrists, and then into your hands, palms, backs, fingers, and again, I invite you here to ask your hands if they are in the right position. And if you feel they're not, please feel free to move them, to adjust them, to have them in a position where they can rest. There's no pressure. And then here I often invite you as well to feel the effect on the of the water, not just on your skin, but also in your muscles, in your sinews, in your joints, in your bones. Allow them to soak in awareness and in care. And then allow the water to touch your chest, to flow over your back, from your armpits, down on the right and the left. Leaving no area untouched by kindness, by acceptance, by ease. Flowing over the middle part of your back, the belly, down to the hips and to your buttocks. Just as I mentioned, buttocks, they just relaxed all by themselves. Causes and conditions. Relaxation is something which happens, it's not something you do. And then again here, allow the warmth, allow the openness of awareness to also touch all the muscles in your torso, in your belly, in your pelvis. Things like your diaphragm, all the little muscles between your ribs. Let them be loose and relaxed, warm and tender. Muscles in your stomach, in your digestive tract, let them relax. And then again, all the way down to the bones, your rib cage, your spine, your hips, and then let the warm, kind water flow into your legs, the thighs, all around. Over the skin and under the skin. Let it soak into your muscles. Soak into your bones. Soak into your joints. Up at the hips, but also in your knees. And then you can let the water flow into your lower parts of your legs. All around. The outside in. But then also soaking up the warmth from the inside out. Moving towards your ankles, into your heels. Into your feet. into your toes. Again, letting no area be untouched by the openness and acceptance of awareness and the kindness and warmth of wisdom. Of understanding, of care. And then you can feel your whole body. Just when you come out from a shower or from a bath, you can feel your whole body glow happy and content with relaxation and ease. And when the body is just so nice, relaxed and calm, you can allow it to fade into the background. And you can allow this kindness, this wakefulness and awareness to soak into the mental world, into the realm of the mind. Where the thoughts and the emotions pass through. See if you can fill this space where they move through with kindness and care. With spaciousness, with watching but not interfering. Allowing the waves of the thoughts and emotions to become less and less. To settle to relax. And to become smooth. Let's just rest here for 2 minutes or so. Allowing things to become as still as possible. thoughts and emotions are like an echo in the background. And sounds are also like an echo in the background. We can just allow them to pass through. Without disturbing the stillness and the peace. And then let's open our hearts to allow the stillness and the peace to take refuge there. As we start to come back to our bodies, to the sensations in our bodies, to the sounds on the outside, and then let the sound of the singing bowl take you gently out of meditation. Another nice habit that you might want to encourage is to just have a little smile when you open your eyes. Kind of acknowledge the relaxation and the ease from the inside and to carry it out into the world. It will happen naturally anyway, but it's a nice thing to remember. And it's something you can remember during your day as well. If you get into a difficult situation like the one you have described, instead of feeling hurt and going outside, just going inside. Remembering that this is part of the human experience, that we will sometimes have these things. And just have a gentle smile like all the Buddha statues have. There is laughing Buddhas, I know, but the actual peaceful Buddha statues, they always just have this tiny little smile on their face. And I think that it is the smile of understanding. It's the smile of wisdom. It's the smile of kindness. And when we can bring that into our day-to-day life, then we will also bring some mindfulness, some distance, and we'll be able to navigate through difficult situations in a much better way, in a much more skillful way. All right, I've gone a bit over time. But still, if there is any questions right now, I'd be happy to answer them. But what we also do is...